Well, today the Lord has given me this thought of God's great love and mercy. You know, I feel inadequate to even preach this because it is so vast and there's so many areas that it covers. I don't feel that I can cover it all. But I want to give what the Lord has given me. God's great love and mercy. I want us to think of back at the beginning of time and how that mankind failed God. How that Adam and Eve disobeyed him. And in their disobedience, it didn't just affect them. It affected all of humanity. Everyone born after Adam and Eve was affected by their disobedience. Sometimes I think that people don't realize the depths of what sin does. Sometimes they look at it, they might look at it as something kind of smart, kind of cute, kind of, but they don't realize what it's doing. Sin affects not just the person that's doing it, but it affects their children. It affects other people around them. We don't live in a box and we don't live to ourselves. But if we participate and allow ourselves to live in sin, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt us and it's gonna hurt others. Sin is a terrible, terrible thing. It's not something to laugh at. It's not something to think is cute. It's not something to think it's okay. It's not okay. It does something to you. When you give in to sin, it will bind you like a rope around you. But God, in his love and his mercy, he created us. He created us for himself, that we could live a life that's pure and clean and like him. That he could interact with us. That he could talk with us and walk with us. And God cannot tolerate sin. We cannot justify sin and think it's okay and think that we will be able to live in the presence of God forever. That is a big lie from the devil. Because when we want to live and please God and we want to go to his heaven, we got to get rid of the sin business. So he knew that. And he provided for our salvation. He provided a way that mankind could be brought back to him. Before the fall, he would walk and talk with Adam. He'd come in the cool of the evening and he would speak to him. But then now, with sin, it's like a barrier was put between mankind and God. This barrier is sin. He can't tolerate it. It can't come in his presence. So he provided a way that could be broken. And let's go to 2 Peter 3. I need a reader and I need somebody that can read loud. 3:8-10.
But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as 1 day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the ark also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Do you see what's going to happen? This earth is going to be destroyed. And those that have not lived according to please God, they're going to be destroyed also. But if you remember, if you would see, he says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's his great love and mercy. Man is not worthy of God. We have not done the thing that deserve living with him. And so he could have just destroyed mankind. After Adam and Eve sinned, he could have destroyed them and just say, forget it. But he didn't, because of his great love and his mercy. He's not willing that any should perish. Not one soul that walked this earth is he willing that they perish. He wants them to all to come to repentance, all to come to him, all to bring their sins to him, all to ask him to forgive them for their sin, all to ask him to come into their heart and live that he can live with them and help them. For Psalms 100 and verse 5.
For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Some people take that to feel like that I can do what I want to do and ask him to forgive me, and I can continue to do what I want to do. That's not the way it happens. His mercy is forever unto everlasting, and his truth to all generations. There's no generation of mankind that he ignores and that he doesn't care about. You could live in the deep woods, in the deep jungle, God cares for you. You could live on the desert, God cares for you. We could live in the city where there's multitudes of people and just one little me, he still cares. So he loves and he cares, and his mercy endures to all generations. But when we think of what mankind has done, and we look at Genesis and how that through, I think pride is what really got Eve. As he told her, and he deceived her, and he told her a lie. He said, you'll not die. Death passed on to everyone from that point. With them doing disobeying God, we die. Our bodies die, but the spirit died. The relationship with man and God died at that point. And so he was a big liar, and he's lying to people every day. So let's go. But our fate was death. We were doomed without God's love and mercy. We were doomed. When we do wrong, we're doomed. We're not going to get by with it. And in Romans 12:5-12, but God loves us, and he cares for us, and he provided a way for us.
Wherefore, as by one man sin enter into the world, and death by sin, and so death pass upon all men, for that all have sinned.
That's right. So death passed upon all men. One man sinned, Adam. You see, I look at it like this. Had Eve did that, and Adam not done it, no doubt God would have gotten rid of Eve, given Adam another wife, and we still would have a good relationship with God. But once Adam sinned, see, Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. He knew good and well, and he knew better. But he disobeyed God anyway. And therefore, the death passed upon all men. 1 Corinthians 15, 21, and 22. So eternal death was our fate. That's what would have happened. And if we do not come to him and accept his plan, we will still have eternal death.
For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
God's great love and mercy. He provided Christ for us, that we don't have to die, that we don't have to be doomed, that we don't have to sin. We don't have to sin. He has provided through Christ freedom, deliverance, hope, and blessings through Christ Jesus. Back in the Old Testament, this is the way the Lord did it at first. He gave them to go and sacrifice animals and repent of their sins. That's what he gave during the Old Testament time. But you know, it never took away the consciousness of sin. Man would repent today and they'd go back and they would sin all year, and then they would come and sacrifice those animals the next year, and it went on and on. Let's go to Hebrews 10, 1 through 9. But the sacrifices of bulls and goats did not make us perfect. He did not make man perfect. It just appeased the situation. It just gave forgiveness. And then it was a continual over and over thing.
For the law hoveth a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then will they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged shall have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats shall take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. About when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second.
Yes. So the first way was sacrifice and offering. It just did not completely make the comers, the ones that did that, perfect. But he took away that first way, because it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away your sin. God forgave their sin, but he made a perfect plan, and he sent his son. He said, a body you're going to give me. He sent his son, and through the son, Jesus Christ, we are made perfect. We can be forgiven, and not only forgiven, but we can have no consciousness of sin. The Lord will take those sins that we did, and he will put them in the sea, and he won't remember them against us anymore. So if we come to the Lord and we ask him to forgive us our sins, he will forgive all the sins that we've done. And then he won't bring them back again. Sometimes when you are dealing with people and you'll say, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that way. They might say, well, you're always saying something like that. But God doesn't do that. He forgives you. He forgives us completely of all those sins. And he takes them totally away. And he won't bring them back. He won't say, well, yesterday you sinned. No. But he does not want you to continue in sin. He wants you to ask forgiveness. He wants you to stop the sin business. Let's go on. So we realize that through Jesus, through him, now we can be free. Sin is binding. And many of you know that. If you think about the sins that you have done in the past, you can realize that you sometimes wish you hadn't done it. Have you ever done something? You wish you hadn't done it. Maybe said something and made somebody angry. They wanted to fight you. You wish you hadn't said it. Maybe started a habit. You wish you had never done it. If you had it to do over, you would probably say, I would not do that. That's why I talk to these girls. And I tell them, I say, do not start habits. They are hard to break. It's better to never do it than to do it and try to break it. That's why I go and do vacation Bible school in different places. Because I want to talk to the children. Don't start doing this or that and the other. Because once you start, it's hard to break those habits. It's easier to never do it than to do it and try to break it. But through Jesus Christ, he's able to break the chains. Those habits have chains. And you can't just walk away from them as easy as you'd like. It takes the power of God, and through Jesus Christ and through his blood, he will set us free. He will break the chains that bind. All we have to do is give our heart and life to him. All we have to do is to trust in the power of God. He is not a weak God. He is a strong God. He is able to bind that old demon that has control and set you free. Let's go to Romans 6. Start at 16 to 22.
Know ye not that tomorrow ye yield yourselves servant to obey, servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of man, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants unto meanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now ye your members servants of righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were freed from righteousness. What fruit have you shared in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life.
What a precious promise. When we are yield ourselves to God, he frees us. We're no longer bound. And we yield ourselves unto God, unto righteousness. And we have fruits of righteousness in our lives. John 8:34, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin. When you commit sin, it binds you and it makes you a servant of sin. But we have a great privilege that God sent his son because of his great love and mercy on this earth to die for our sins that we might be free. Romans 7:14.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that I do not. But that I hate, that I do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
So you see what was happening? He was doing things he knew better. He didn't want to do it. Have you ever said, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Or I wish I hadn't done that. And you see the consequences. It's bad consequences. And it was like he was struggling. In my mind, I want to do it one way, but something within me is causing me to do it another way. The first verse of the next chapter said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God can break the bands that bind. Let's look to God because of his love, because of his mercy. Let's look to him through Jesus Christ and claim the power of God to break every chain that binds. The devil he's a cruel devil. He wants you bound to do the wrong thing. But Jesus came to set the captive free. Ephesians 2:1-6.
And you had you quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Notice how that God, who's rich in mercy, in love, he provided a way through Jesus Christ that we can just feel free. We can fly, so to speak. There's a song that people sing, you know, I can fly. Well, you can fly when it comes to the Lord. You don't have to be bound. You don't have to be doing things that you know better because of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, loving God who cares for all mankind. There's not one person. Some people have these racial issues, but God cares for every one of us. He doesn't matter what our race is. He doesn't matter what our status is. He doesn't matter our limitation. None of those things matter because he loves us with a great love. And he has mercy. His mercy is forever. And we can depend on that. Now, I want us to think a little bit of God in like the prodigal son. In Luke 15, I'm going to read this, starting at the 11th verse. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a great famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself unto a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to make merry. Think about it. God is like their father. He wants us to come to him. He cares for him. Just because we walk away from him and do things that he's not pleased, he doesn't turn his back on us and not care about us. But he's looking, just like that father was looking. No doubt he would look every day to see if his son came back. And before he could even get close, he ran and he kissed him, and he was so glad to see him. God Almighty is the same loving and merciful God. When we do these things that he's not pleased, it doesn't make him turn his back on it. He looks forward. He's looking. He's searching to see if his son is coming. And when we come, he's rejoicing. He's not turning his back. He's not stepping his foot on. I'll tell you, if you get down, the devil will step his foot on you. If you get down, but not God. He won't do that. He will reach out to us and show us love and show us how much he cares about us and show us mercy and call after us and give us the kiss of love. And so we want to realize that we have a God that cares about us. When we're lonely, when we're depressed, like she was saying, discouraged, all of those things, he cares. He doesn't turn his back on us. And so let us realize the great sacrifice that he made. I hope that one day that we'll be able to continue this, because I want us to see what Jesus did that we might be saved. Pray for me.